Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sports Kingdom. As you may know by now, the Denver Nuggets are 2023 NBA champions. What an exciting time for Denver Nugget fans, as not only is Joker a first-time NBA champion, but so is Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., and the whole rest of the Denver Nuggets. What an exciting time, as unfortunately right now in Miami, things are pretty sour, especially looking into the future now. There's some doubt as to what may happen with Jimmy Butler, Nikola Jokic. I mean, say if he was in Miami, Kyle Lowry, undrafted free agents. I mean, you know, of course, crap has hit the fan now in Miami, and it's going to be, nonetheless, an interesting offseason. The NBA draft is now coming up, followed by NBA free agency, of course. Agent Wojnarowski, will we break it all down, of course, like he always does each and every year. But, now, come to Sports Kingdom here, your NBA insider for this year's hottest NBA free agency news and information. I pitched out, if you follow Sports Kingdom on Twitter, I highly suggest, at Sports Kingdom TV, had essentially pitched that Jimmy Butler should go back to Philadelphia. If you honestly want to know me, after a decent postseason nonetheless this year, people may criticize and go on to post silly TikToks about Jimmy Butler falling as short as he did last night, didn't have one of his best games last night, of course. And like I said prior to this game last night, that Jimmy Butler was going to, I think, struggle in some of the heat, considering that vibes just didn't seem to be as well soothed out to be. So Jimmy Butler struggled, and then, yeah, I see someone falling off a golf cart going on to describe the way Jimmy Butler performed last night and the rest of the Heat. Now, the Heat started off good. They they led the game at halftime, but Michael Porter Jr., you can't forget, I think, was fully designed last night to start off with a good amount of reps and, of course, finish as a leading scorer of the first half. Not so bad, you know, even when you consider Michael Porter Jr.'s performance from a rebounding standpoint, but you know, as time went on, Joker eventually picked it up in the second half. He took care of business and said after the game that he doesn't really care much about a parade, but he really cares much about going home and seeing his horses. I mean, I think he's just a classy guy, to say the very least. He was seen at times having a good time just throwing Murray into a hot tub or pool, and then I don't know what a pool hot tub was doing. Present at the particular time, but you know, Jamal Murray, he was thrown into a pool, and then Michael Porter Jr., he got tossed around or whatever. I don't know. I mean, to me, he's irrelevant. If you've been listening to my shows, he's really been he's been somewhat irrelevant to me, even though he had one of his better performances last night. In spite of the fact that, like I said, Miami was leading at halftime, so Michael Porter Jr., obviously, as the leading scorer and, main guy dribbling the ball most of the first half, you know, couldn't obviously help lead the Denver Nuggets onto a lead in at the end of the first half, but like I said, Joker really picked it up in the second half, and of course, even though shots were spotty, as ESPN put it, shots were spotty. Denver wasn't really finding much of their range, so to speak, in the second half, most of the second half. No, there are just some key moments during the second half where you saw Jamal fade away and then, you know, hit a clutch 3-point shot. I mean, just really reminiscent of much of what some of the all-time greats, to put it, have went on to accomplish during the NBA Finals. NBA Finals being around so long. Not only did the Nuggets win for the first time since the 1976 NBA Finals, you know, during that time, you know, Julius Erving, he was pretty much emerging, and then very well. Yeah, some ABA teams transferred on to the NBA, and Julius Erving became one of the main key cogs, I believe, of the ABA-NBA merger. I sort of look at the time, because then he really much inspired many others, most particularly Michael Jordan, to go on to become the greatest of all time. And you look at other disciples, Kobe Bryant, being in the conversation with Jamal Murray now, everyone wondering, can the Denver Nuggets dynamic duo essentially now become a dynasty? I mean, look at the payroll. I think it's a little bit loaded. You know, didn't know Christian Braun was making a little bit as much money as he's been currently making. But besides that, he's one of the lowest paid players in the rotation. Then you look further up the payroll, you got Bruce Brown, who is set to become a free agent. And I see, you know, maybe the dominoes can sort of fall into place a little if the Denver Nuggets, say, bring back Bruce Brown. You know, I figure the Denver Nuggets are likely to keep around most of the same starting rotation at the very least and dump, say, a player like Bruce Brown. But just say if maybe the Denver Nuggets want to keep Bruce Brown and they want to maybe be a little bit cheaper in terms of salary. They got some draft picks coming up, and they can, I think, maybe use maybe a wide range of depth a little bit outside of Christian Braun and some of the players I just mentioned. Because even look at the fact that, you know, for example, DeAndre Jordan got some meaningful minutes last night. I mean, you know, I think whatever happens, the Denver Nuggets are going to eventually load up on some younger prospects. But I just question what they do going forward with possibly some of their current roster. Although, like I said, the Nuggets won first time since the 1976 ABA Finals. And not only that, spanning time, it was Mike Breen's 100th NBA Finals call. He's certainly one of my favorite broadcasters in the industry today. You know, span all the way back to 2006, essentially. You know, I definitely grew up on Mike Breen, and he's had some famous calls. You know, he mentioned Dwayne Wade as being the first Finals MVP, followed up by some other all-time greats, and was a great span and track record of Mike Breen. Hopefully he doesn't give it up so soon. I hear Mike Breen hardly talks to Jeff Van Gundy in the broadcast booth, outside of the broadcast booth these days. I mean, hopefully tensions don't flare and Mike Breen nonetheless continues to do his job over at ESPN and MSG as well. It does call Nick games from time to time, and can't go figure. The Nuggets won an NBA title for the first time over the New York Knicks. I mean, I wonder how some fans back in New York, and particularly Carmelo Anthony, have to be wondering. I mean, Carmelo Anthony, of course, cheerleading the New York Knicks this very year, and I guess you could say sometimes don't forget where you came from, essentially where you drafted. Some players absolutely just proud, humble to be drafted somewhere and play the rest, if not the majority of their career in a place like Chicago or Portland right now. Damian Lillard is in trade rumor speculation, of course, and I don't know where his future stands that much, but all you can say right now is the Denver Nuggets are 2023 NBA champions. Nikola Jokic went on to lead the postseason all time ever, first in points, first in rebounds, and first in assists. In fact, that's another thing that came to hinder the he believe it or not, is that you have someone big as Bam Adebayo. I mean, if you're asking me, who out of all players should be moved this offseason in Miami, it's Bam. Because I think Bam could have played a lot better. And, you know, he really just failed in my eyes, you know, especially in terms of maybe his biggest area rebounding. I mean, some argue that he's a little undersized. But then again, I think for someone like him who's not maybe asked a whole lot out of the rotation especially, I just thought, you know, he could have played a little bit better defense at least. He could have done maybe certain things better more to help contribute to Miami's efforts of winning yet an 11th title. For most people are talking about Pat Riley, of course, and I just wonder what's the future of Pat Riley. Is Pat Riley gonna leave Miami at this point? I'd said if Pat Riley didn't essentially did in fact essentially win a title. I mean, regardless, I felt Eric Spoelstra would be in line to possibly hang up coaching if he wanted to. But based how this series went, I think it's possible Spoelstra comes back for at least another year of coaching. There's rumors of LeBron James going to Miami. And like I said, I pitched out a trade, Jimmy Butler going to Philadelphia for James Harden and Tyrese Maxey. That way, you bring in arguably one of the best assist leaders in James Harden, followed up by Tyrese Maxey, who I still feel is a promising young talent in the league. And then and LeBron James, Kevin Love, possibly Bam. That's how I envisioned things last night after the NBA Finals, but just after listening to some of the press and media coverage this morning, I just thought, well, of course, Bam had, like I said, a pretty miserable game, miserable series, I felt. And, like I said, again, if you're going to move one guy, it's possibly Bam. Otherwise, you know, of course, it was just a point Tyler Hero couldn't play much. I felt the Heat were at first going to be maybe okay without him for a couple games, but as it turned out, things just didn't go Miami's way. And I just think changes have to come, obviously, after especially trying to be redeemed after a 2020 NBA Finals exit and go on to counteract what occurred last night, whereas the Denver Nuggets became 2023 NBA champions. And I can't discount, even though I've been pretty hard on Michael Porter Jr. throughout the finals, throughout most of the postseason, I'd argue, you know, he really helped himself, I'd say, at the very least, even though, you know, I wasn't as pleased once again. You know, he really helped himself last night and throughout parts of the postseason, whereas, again, he's only 24, and I'd give him maybe another year or so to maybe develop into that reliable third scoring option on the team. But other than that, though, you know, the Denver Nuggets certainly work around Jokic as of this moment, and Murray, as well as rotate up time to time and rely on guys such as Braun or Porter. You know, huge victory for Denver. Huge victory for the fans there. We saw Peyton Manning still around Denver, as well as Russell Wilson, Sean Payton, someone dressed up as Joker, and a very, how do I put it, a very, very very great time for, I think, especially centers, a victory for centers in the league, you know. I mentioned before, I'll say it again, I think Jokic is on track to become not only the best center in the league now, but the best player for years to come, as long as he keeps himself healthy and poised. And, you know, I think with Jokic, you know, with him having a history of spending time back in Serbia, whether it's feeding the horses or parading around a bonfire after just earning a mega contract deal, life-changing deal. I think Jokic is definitely on his way. But, of course, like I said, we have the NBA draft coming up. There's a lot of speculation about rookies like Chet Holmgren and Victor Wembanyama, who are going to be competing for the NBA Rookie of the Year honors next year. And, you know, like I said, I don't think bigs are quite dormant just yet. You can make an argument that, you know, during Bill Russell's heyday, who wasn't unfortunately around for the first time to pass away the torch to the most valuable player of this year's NBA Finals. Bill went on to face talents I don't think Jokic has ever faced, and I think may never face from a competitive standpoint when you look at centers back in the day, such as Hal Greer, Elgin Baylor, and Wilt Chamberlain. I mean, good list of centers back in the day. And now as you look around the league, and one center really stands out to me that has a chance to still capitalize on his upside potential, and that's DeAndre Ayton. He's been reported to go elsewhere as well, just like Damian Lillard. And I think it's best if he does go elsewhere, possibly to the East, get a farther taste of altered scenery with an Eastern Conference team, and play arguably as the number one guy, just like DeAndre did back in college. I think it's to be said that Devin Booker, again, is not. I mean, Stephen A. is a fan of him, but I'm certainly not a fan of him. I think, again, there's many other good ball handlers, especially on the Phoenix Suns roster, and versatile talent. When I look at Devin Booker, I don't quite see someone who is versatility as gifted as, say, many others I've seen in the past. You know, it's just when he came out of college, I really, and, you know, look back at his time at Kentucky, for example, you know, he essentially played off of Karl Anthony Towns, and I mean, wouldn't that be interesting if I wouldn't be an Eastern Conference team necessarily, but if Devin Booker reunited with someone like Karl Anthony Towns, who is another guy who could very well, I think, reinvent himself, maybe not to the extent DeAndre Ayton can, but I think Karl Anthony Towns could very well reinvent himself with Phoenix and play with guys such as Devin Booker, Kevin Durant. I wouldn't go as far as say as Chris Paul. I mean, Chris Paul, I think, would be a good young veteran yet again for someone like DeAndre Ayton at this point. I mean, to put it blunt, I think Devin Booker has really it may have very well shaped up the Phoenix Suns organization for the next years to come. But he's nonetheless what I've always viewed the Kardashians, for example. I think Kendall Jenner's better out of all of them, at least the better. I'm not saying this because Devin Booker associated himself with Kendall. I mean, it's very well possible that Devin Booker sustained a good relationship for the time being, but nonetheless, I just say, like, maybe the Kardashians isn't the best comparison, but I'd say, for the record, he is he's somewhat He really comes off the wrong way. I'll say a lot of players, they've been on Instagram Live this summer, but just recently Devin Booker was seen at a play somewhere with Chris Paul, and he went on to downgrade Mikal Bridges. And, I think it spoke a lot of volumes how Devin Booker downgraded a player like Mikal Bridges, and how the capture went on to basically tell it all. Like, this is maybe and essentially the reason why Phoenix isn't coping so well as of late, is because Devin Booker just may obviously view himself as better than some others, or possibly everyone else. I mean, who's to say you can't have somewhat of a driving mentality like that? But then again, to just knock down one of your teammates, or former teammates like that, Mikal Bridges, who's in fact doing tremendously well for himself as of right now in Brooklyn, speak volumes. And when I initially saw Devin Booker back in college, I cringed. I didn't view him being good as he's become, the very least leading on to a NBA Finals appearance. But all this hoopla that he's the next Kobe Bryant, or he very well is the best marksman in the league. I mean, yeah, I just I just think as of right now, the Phoenix Suns are nowhere close to reaching an NBA Finals appearance yet again. We got a caller. 973.
Yes, I'm back. All right.
Hey,
well.
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah. Well, yeah. All right. Well, I don't know about you, but I knew that the Nuggets were going to take it last night. Okay, got a little shaky towards the end, you know, with Miami getting back in that horrible call that was made, that never should have been. That should have been a flagrant foul, first of all. But no, they gave the credit to Jimmy Butler, of course, to give him one last chance, you know, to make this game closer. But the end, Denver pulled it out. Thank goodness.
Yeah, I don't know if you were just listening to what I was saying, but
sorry, jumped in late.
No, I mean, you have any thoughts on the Suns as this moment?
The Suns, well, you know, they had their chances just a couple of years ago, but you know, ever since they choked in that Game 7 at home, you know, last year, I think they got a little ways to go yet. You know, I mean, they've been through a rough stretch, and you know, they didn't live up to last year either. So I think they got their work cut out for them. I think it's gonna be a while before the Phoenix Suns are gonna be considered for a championship run.
Yeah, I mean, like I was starting to say, I think as of right now, the Phoenix Suns are not on track to appear in the NBA Finals yet again.
No.
But the way I see it, they can definitely gain some traction, gain some value, and DeAndre Ayton, and go forward from there. I think at least trading Chris Paul and or DeAndre Ayton is going to solve a little bit of what's going on in Phoenix right now. Of course, like Brian Windhorst was saying, they need to establish more depth, a team like Denver, and try to pursue a ring.
Yeah. And, I think it's time for Chris Paul to move on. I mean, he's not getting the job done. It's time for him to go. Question is, who's going to want him?
Who knows?
The Knicks take him? Yeah, probably
not. I think he's the type of player that's going to be around for a long time, and I really do. Maybe,
yeah.
I don't know how old he is right now, but I assume maybe 40, 41, 42, something like Derek Fisher.
I think he's about 38.
38?
Yeah,
so I don't really know, but like I said, the Suns will try to pursue a ring, and as with the Nuggets, they, of course, won a ring last night for several, particularly their players, such as Jokic. I mean, how do you feel about Jokic winning his first ring? Do you think it's the one, only last ring from Jokic?
No, I don't see the last ring for him. I think maybe, maybe one more down the line. You know, I know he's not getting younger, but he is a star player. And, you know, he was set out to win, you know, to win a title for Denver, and he did. And, of course, not to mention with his, you know, two regular season MVPs and the finals MVP. So, you know, he's right up there now, you know, being one of the top players in all basketball, probably the best player right now in the game.
Yeah. Michael Malone, he won his second title in 6 years. He was previously with the Sacramento Kings and Golden State Warriors, won some gold around that time. And then you saw him win the 2023 NBA Finals. And man, it's been quite a huge roller coaster for Michael Malone, but he's gotten to the point where he's wanting to now, and that's an NBA Finals championship.
And deservedly so.
Yeah, just becoming the first NBA Finals Game 1 champion amongst the likes of Steve Kerr and others. I mean, he's, I think, on a great path right now. If you ask me, if Michael Malone, and along with Jokic and others, can go farther into more championships, it's possible. It's really possible, but I think you know, they have some work to do this offseason. So do the Heat. And you know, just touching on what you said about Jimmy Butler, yeah, he I just think he had such a bad vibe, not only last night, bad attitude, but you know, during the press conference prior, he just really came off the wrong way. And you know, I think he certainly has some rights to feel the way he has or is right now, because he just came off, you know, the NBA Finals bubble, of course, which didn't go his way, essentially. And then he goes on last year saying in the Eastern Conference Finals exit press conference that the Heat will bounce back, find a way to reach the 2023 NBA Finals. And fast forward to now, he's no longer, I think, maybe the way I see it, finding it capable of ever possibly reaching his point again, where he takes the palm, the fan base by storm, by his palm. And now what can you say? Jimmy Butler was being debated this morning as being an MVP or not in the NBA, and you know, he just, based off watching him during his time as a Sixers fan, he really came off the same way that Miami Heat fans saw him this season now, whereas he just has certain gears. I mean, no one really knows. Not many people know this about Jimmy Butler, but he doesn't like taking 3-point shots, for example. And so when you have a player like
that,
when you have a player like that, okay. I mean, I really like Jimmy Butler, and he reminds me a lot of Allen Iverson. But you know, when you have a player like Jimmy Butler, who doesn't like to take 3-point shots, and you know, I guess, you know, just, you know, we'll turn on whenever necessary, you know, turn on the ignition to the NASCAR car, so to speak, and really come away looking, you know, of course, the way he did last night.
I just find it a bit odd, though, that, you know, it's like you shoot 3-pointers. I mean, what player does not like to shoot a 3-pointer?
Huh. Yeah, no, I always thought that Jimmy Butler could be an MVP, based off the way he played, of course, his pro season, and then some of his stats, like being very player efficient over stars like Giannis and some other former MVPs, and having a great win shares probability. I mean, For his age now, it's unlikely, but I always viewed Jimmy Butler more as a guy who could benefit off, say, someone like LeBron James. I don't think Jimmy Butler is necessarily the player that can handle it all, especially as time goes on now. I think it's possible. I mean, it'd be nice if Philadelphia would pick him up, say, trade James Harden, Tyrese Maxey. For Jimmy Butler, but I don't know where the Heat stand right now, and
right. But I'll tell you, Well, I'll tell you, though, can't fans just enjoy a celebration in peace without causing a problem? Because I don't suppose you heard what happened after after they won the game, right?
After the game?
Yeah, I suppose you didn't hear about what happened after.
Well, there's, you know, of course, a lot of celebration, and no, I thought it was really nice that, you know.
Well, no, because
I gotta say this. Denver Nugget fans were greeted, and so were the Heat players after the game. And it was very nice that Jokic, out of many other players in the past, have just stormed off the court and just celebrated all the way to the exit tunnel. In the case of Jokic, he shook hands with every player and just was very family oriented. Of course, afterwards, you know, went straight to his family afterwards, and has gone on a show. Just how true not only the player Jokic is, but the player person he is as well. He has a real good knack for the game, and I think I lost my thought, but I think Jokic he deserves everything that's coming his way right now. You know, for someone that's a former second round pick, I think one of few really good second round picks. When you look at the Denver Nuggets roster, yeah, he's definitely on pace. You know, I actually never thought he would go on to win a finals maybe this soon as well, when you consider how maybe a couple of the players are in terms of age and youth, but no, a miraculous comeback for not only a guy like Jokic, who was a second round pick, you know, but Jamal Murray, came off a torn ACL, and just to hear his name called at the NBA Finals ceremony after the the game was surreal.
Yeah. But what I'm referring to is that after the game, there was some dumb idiot who began shooting, and 10 people were injured, including the shooter himself. I mean, can't people just, you know, learn how to celebrate in peace without causing a problem?
Yeah. You know, I don't think necessarily there are too many bad arguments, or most particularly players in this series. I mean, nothing too serious, I feel. I mean, compared to previous times, compared to previous postseasons, I mean, I think this is more of just definitely a fair competitive environment, you know?
Yeah. Well, 3 people were seriously injured. The other 7 were not.
So how many total?
Well, first count was 9, but then it was up to 10. But they said that 3 were critically injured.
Well, you know, what do you think about someone like Tyler Hero, who has spearheaded the Heat for over the past couple years now? I mean, Where do you think he stands in all this after the conclusion of the NBA Finals?
Or as I say, Tyler Zero. He's all right. Well, he's got to stay healthy, though, because, you know, I think that's what it's cost him. You know, you got to have your players healthy for a playoff run, because you're not going to win a championship if your team is going to be a train wreck.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of train wreck, I never saw that movie, but, Denver Nuggets, 2023 NBA champions. If you want to call in, the number is 563-999-3522, 563-999-3522, so, I don't really know much else, besides the fact that, Jokic, she scored 26 points last night, along with 12-16 shooting. Like I said before, it was said by ESPN there was some spy shooting going on. I mean, maybe at first, half, for particularly Jokic, but look at end result stats, 12-16, I mean, I don't know where that hypothesis came from. Jokic went off and... he really didn't have a disappointing game this series at all.
No.
Jokic didn't have a disappointing series. I still tend to think, from time to time, Jamal Murray is being a little spotty himself, which is why the argument could be made he's not as consistent as many people would like, but I think definitely, like I was saying before, based off some key shots during the structure of the fourth quarter, yet again, I mean, he's definitely someone worth keeping in mind as time goes forward. I think people tend to lose, cognition, become less cognitive over,
right.
Just how well Jamal Murray can perform.
Yeah. I mean, Murray, of course, I mean, he's a good player too. Don't get me wrong.
I mean, he does have a receding hairline coming up, so you know what that means, but...
when you get older, yeah, sure.
This just in, Real Madrid ready to bid for Mbappe. So like I said yesterday on the show, PSG opted out, went their separate ways with Mbappe, and now, according to sources, Real Madrid is interested. And like I said, this is no surprise. Even though I'd love to see Mbappe in MLS, I just saw him going to maybe at the very least the Champions League or Premier.
Hmm.
I don't know if you caught the World Cup. You catch the World Cup?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm sorry, man. I lost track of your name again. You didn't say it firsthand.
Sorry, it's Lou from New Jersey. I've been here
Lou,
before.
Lou. So, I was thinking Lou or Leo, but yeah, Lou.
I knew a guy named Leo, but no. I knew someone named, though.
Yeah, no. Huge fan of the World Cup. Not too long ago, and can only wish that American soccer gets better, and we see the women's team take control this summer.
Yeah, next month.
It's gonna be airing on Fox. Should be good.
Yeah. Yeah, but too bad it's going to be at ridiculous times throughout the day. It's like more in the middle of the night or very early in the morning. Oh, boy. Thank you, Australia and New Zealand.
Australia.
Yeah, remind me to go wacky with a boomerang.
Yeah, no, I was starting to say, though, you know, I happened to watch Victor Wembanyama overseas, and then Chet Holmgren, and
yeah,
no, there's a debate about those two. Like I was saying before, rookie of the year, very well leaning in the balance of Victor Wembanyama mm-hmm. or Chet Holmgren, and yeah, I think it should be interesting. The FIBA World Cup. Under, I believe, 19 at the time. Chet Holmgren, Victor Wembanyama were lighting up scouts' eyes. And so now, you know, based off just how high scouts are now on Victor Wembanyama as compared to Chet Holmgren. I mean, Chet, I think, didn't display as much as he did early on before his career at Gonzaga, and of course, I think you know much was shown out of Jacob Timme, who I think despite possibly being undrafted, has the potential to be somewhat of a solid player off someone's bench. But he didn't have a good combine. But Chet, I think he's gonna certainly. As of right now, the Thunder are projected to be in the top five of the ESPN rankings for NBA Finals. But I think even though there's a case to be made, Chet Holmgren can very well win Rookie of the Year or not, or go on to at the very least help the Thunder's chances at winning more basketball games. I see it this way, even though scouts are high on Victor and Chet, I still think I still think at the end of the day, Jokic is and will be the best center for years to come.
Yes. But it's kind of hard to compare, you know, a player who's never played in the States before. We play a different type of basketball in Europe. So, you know, I don't know how he's going to be able to adapt to it right away. Or, I mean, Wembanyama, that is.
Yeah, no, and I was just texting someone who had on the show before, who works closely with Close Up 360 now, which I highly recommend everyone go check out. But received a text from me. I said, I'm trying to remember. I started to say something about Scoot Henderson and Victor, but then it leaned more towards let me pull it up, actually.
Okay.
In the meantime, you want to plug anything, Lou?
Well, just a reminder that my show, The Enhanced Sports Show, runs Saturday 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. You're on the East Coast, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so 4 to 6 hour time. The number is 512-543-4662, and it's going to be a very busy show Saturday because we're going to be doing a lot of recapping the NBA Finals, possibly recapping the NHL Finals once it goes to 7 games. The Belmont Stakes, we got some USFL to take care of because that's the last of the regular season. Major League Baseball. Got some WNBA I'm going to take care of, or at least try to attempt it. So it should be a very interesting show. It's from 4-6 Eastern Time on Saturdays. And it's also our annual Dads and Grads show because Sunday is Father's Day and a lot of kids graduate high school.
All right, yeah, that's cool, man. What's going on with the WNBA right now? They, you think they're on track to have, a decent season overall?
I think so. You know, I mean, the league has really picked up in recent years, and they're, you know, starting to make some pretty good moves. Our New York Liberty is doing well, thank goodness. You know, they retired some jerseys this past week for some of the great players who have just recently retired. And I think a new crop of WNBA players are going to, you know, really take this league far. I mean, you have to do something right. You've been doing this now for 25 years, so obviously you're doing something right.
Yeah, you know, I saw a little bit of Sue Bird being inducted. I mean, I don't know, you know, like, I'm not really, to be honest, I'm not really a big fan of the WNBA, but I don't know, when I look back at certain players who have at least cemented themselves and mostly amongst a fraternity of athletes like Michael Jordan and others, I mean, definitely Sue Bird comes to mind, and Tamika Catchings, you know, like, you can also say Lisa Leslie, you know, based off watching Space Jam. I think she was in Space Jam, right?
Right.
Yeah, so very interesting that Sue got inducted. And, you know, you look at the future crop of players. I mean, you just mentioned New York Liberty. Yeah, definitely. Definitely pulling for the very least. I'm definitely pulling for Sabrina Ionescu to at least win one championship. I don't think she's going to ever win multiple, as you know. Say, I mean, if she joins a franchise like the Las Vegas Aces, that's different. But the New York Liberty, you know, in a tough city like that, who I think just can't write out admit that they just place high, huge expectations on players like Sabrina or the New York Knicks altogether, in whether it's in the New York Post, New York Times, or whatever.
Well, the Liberty did better when they had Rebecca Lobo.
What's that?
The Liberty did better when they had Rebecca Lobo on the team. Oh, that's right. You're too young to remember Rebecca Lobo. That was back, though, with the WNBA in its infancy.
What's the name?
Rebecca Lobo. She used to play for UConn.
Okay, yeah. No, I was about to mention UConn. There's a player now named Wright or Bright. Yeah, no. There's definitely some to come out of UConn, but I think someone who hasn't really generated buzz and really has gone on to now, I believe, okay, you want to know me, generate the most buzz since we saw the first freshman Heisman winner, Johnny Manziel. I think I think the one out of Iowa just recently, they're saying, you know, Mayor saying, oh, she has NBA potential, just like they said about Brittany Griner, who now I feel go along with the WNBA, but with the Iowa standout, I think she really has good potential. Sabrina,
sure.
She came from Oregon, so I don't know, like, And definitely some of these more smaller schools get attention in college, but when you come to the NBA, I think maybe a little expectations are placed a little bit different on some players like Sabrina.
Yeah. Man, I like Sabrina.
Because, no, I think overall the WNBA is grown, despite what people say. I mean, it's...
Absolutely.
It's gaining more attendance. The attendance definitely looking more sharp than before. I remember before, you know, sometimes there'd be quite some empty seats, and now you're seeing
yes.
You're seeing most importantly these players try to make their mark. So
yeah. Like I said, though, 25 years, you got to be doing something right. Otherwise, you wouldn't have lasted this long.
Tonight, Dream versus Liberty, the WNBA Commissioner's Cup.
Yep.
And then, then followed by the Storm, Mercury at 10. That's interesting.
Yes, we have a little bit something more interesting tonight than that as well.
Yeah, I know. Tonight, the Stanley Cup is going on. And,
yeah.
I did hear Tkachuk is likely to be out for this game. So,
forget it. You're done.
You think so?
Without Keith, yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, no, Tkachuk's out, and now I read an interesting stat last night that as low as I've been on with Aiden Hill has gone on to accumulate the highest save percentage in a minimum of 15 games at least in an NHL postseason for him to start out in the regular season, and then progress on to have, I feel, a good postseason, even though he's, NHL Network was mentioning, has been leaning more towards the defensemen, who, like I said before, are much bigger than the Florida Panthers, and with their sizable depth, they create a defensive advantage for tonight. Vegas to come out on top and come swinging for the fences without Tkachuk in Florida's lineup. So, I think like you said, it's possibly done, but yet again, just like Miami, it's been a good ride for the Panthers. You know, to be able to knock off Boston, and then come from a 42-38 record and come this far with even first year head coach Paul Maurice is well interesting enough. But then again, like Paul Maurice mentioned, this team is likely to see a lot of moves this offseason if and when the Florida Panthers or the Stanley Cup becomes done and over. I do think that we'll likely see maybe Serge Bobrovsky gone. I would keep Reinhart, maybe Rahegi, and I don't know. I mean, you take some veterans like Sam Bennett, who's been around for a while, and then I don't know if you want to throw in. They've had some staples there for quite a while, like Ekblad and Barkov. I mean, Barkov, I think, has been one of the more impressive Panthers this postseason. But I think Eventually, it's just his first year in Florida. But I'm just saying, I wouldn't be surprised if Tkachuk were to leave sometime between maybe this off season or in a couple off seasons from now. I just don't see his stay being too likely long with Florida, as I think Florida's going to eventually tear down some of the house once again, like some of Florida's brass has been mentioning, with that being said, I think Tkachuk could very much go to yet a different contending team. If I had to choose where, I mean, actually, you know what? Today I was going to preview some of NBA free agency, NHL free agency. You're welcome to stick around if you want. But, if I had to say where real quickly, where Tkachuk could possibly go, because I think he's likely to see a different time, different era with a different team. It wouldn't be something if his salary is pretty hefty, but what about a team maybe like Chicago looking to get right off the bat going with Connor Bedard and some others right now? I mean,
yeah,
it could be long before Chicago fans wait out on Bedard, and then they figure if you bring in someone like Tkachuk, could speed along the process maybe a little, but and time will tell. With the NHL draft, like I said, the NBA draft, free agency coming up with about an hour 30 minutes left. I'll leave it up to you, Lou. I mean, you want to touch on NBA, NHL, free agency, draft? Lou, I mean, I'm still trying to gather more information on the draft, but you could talk a little bit about each one of the drafts if you want.
Well, I'm more paying attention to the NBA draft, and I'm interested to see what what they're going to do with Wembanyama. And let's see how good he is. He's going to make his start in the summer leagues, and it's getting a lot of attention of that right now. So he could be good for the NBA, but you know how some of these early draft picks can be. You know, they get all hyped up, and then they become a bust.
Well, you know what happened with Chet Holmgren? He played throughout some of the summer last year, and he got injured. So, yeah, I think it's likely at this point that we're not. I mean, someone like Wembanyama, people just cherish seeing him in France right now. I think it's very well likely he doesn't play, and even though Ben Simmons, another international phenomenon, had to be in 2016, played some of the summer league. I think even Pablo Pinchero played, but he's another player worth mentioning. I think Pablo has the potential to take a huge leap in year two, and I would say Orlando's always been a hot seat for big men such as Dwight, Shaq, Chris Webber, another power forward. So yeah, and a power forward in Pablo Pinchero now. I mean, and just get him yet another reliable scorer, even if it means taking. I feel Orlando, they have two picks in the first round. They can very much go with Jordan Hawkins out of UConn, another UConn player worth mentioning, who may not wow you right away, but can certainly shoot the ball. I think one of the highest percentages in college basketball and throughout some of the tournament. And, of course, UConn making that huge run. And, I think Jordan Hawkins can stand out right away. And if the Orlando Magic had to go with an early round pick, I think the Thompsons, they seem to be getting a lot of praise. as well. But, you know, also people are talking about Anthony Black.
Right.
I'm just more fixated, however, on the top three overall, though. I mean, I think the top three is going to be the one of the better top threes in quite some time, even though I don't believe yet again Victor Wembanyama may stand out as good as Jokic. It may not even stand out as good, in my opinion, as good as Pablo Banchero. I mean, Victor Wembanyama, I think, could be a multi-time All-Star, but I really have to get past the summer league and see first if he can manage certain situations, which I feel he can with Popovich. I think Popovich is going to put him in all the right spots to excel. But at the end of the day, I don't think his talent's ever going to far exceed possibly someone like a Tim Duncan, Jokic, and possibly even Pablo Banchero. So I think Banchero is going to light up in year two, and showed why he can have a marvelous season coming out of Duke. Some of those Duke players getting so much more mention over Pablo, Jason Tatum, and then Zion. I mean, like Charles Barkley was saying, Zion could very much still improve. I mean, yeah. I think if Charles Barkley said, it changes the whole dynamic of his bio at this point. Like, just forget the dunks, all right? Just pretend dunks don't exist and move on with your career and try to be that dynamic player that, you know, he can definitely shoot. He could definitely, he's very versatile, and, if he just focuses more on, changing up certain habits and body most particularly, you know, you could definitely, I think, like Charles was saying, stay healthy and as good as an efficient All-Star as maybe you'd say Jason Tatum, even though I'm not so high on Jason Tatum as well. I think he's more suited maybe at this point to change up his body and see how things go. But I've also seen Zion more in the light as well as a maybe like a Draymond Green, where he just works around the system and facilitates around the ball. I mean, he can certainly facilitate the ball around as well. I mean, I think Zion still stands out, even though Pablo has a good chance, like I said, in year two to take a huge leap, and then followed up with Jason Tatum. Tatum to me is never. He had probably maybe the best postseason I think I've seen out of him this year, despite coming up short against Miami. Just watching back some of those Philly games, he really showed that he can be somewhat to me of a Kawhi Leonard, that you give him the ball, he can very much, how Kawhi, for example, could go up and take it down ferociously with his left hand. Well, take, for instance, Jason Tatum. I mean, he can go up ferociously just this time with his height. I mean, his height alone is just far more incredibly advantageous he can also use his height at times to his advantage by taking good shots and being a high volume scorer. But then again, I think there are maybe certain instances where Tatum does not have, to me, the athletic ability of a Jaylen Brown, and when he, for example, twitches around some certain parts of the court, it's just I know, you know, Tim.
Yeah.
Tim, obviously, you know, he's become much more different frame-wise, but, I don't know, just some tells me, you know, Boston has been down this stretch now. We're 5-7 Eastern Conference Finals with Jason Tatum, mm-hmm. for the most part, have gone on to basically lose, especially in the NBA Finals. And I don't know, it's just like, kind of, I guess you reach a point where you may realize that Tatum may just be like Kawhi Leonard, where Kawhi had, you know, I think Kawhi, if he had stayed healthy, he would have won more championships than he did. But with Jason Tatum just really, he really stumped the joint this postseason, despite his efforts and performances. He just, you know, lost yet again 5-7 Eastern Conference Finals for the first franchise like the Celtics. And I just think, you know, with Tatum, he's likely to win maybe a championship or two, but just very much not with Boston. I think Boston. I was saying Scoot Henderson has the potential to be better than Jaylen Brown, better than a different Georgia prospect as well. I mean, I think there's so much to talk about, you know. Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown. I think he could benefit going elsewhere as well, really. I think really Boston would benefit just any team, really. Go out and try to at least, you know, that number three pick seems to be available right now in Portland. I'd say if any team has a possibility of going out and getting that number three overall pick, get it. Because, like I said, I think the top three is pretty strong. And even though they may not be, you know, game-changing superstars, is maybe you'd say Jokic, or maybe very bluntly put, Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely a good time. And with Portland, Simons is also, I've heard Simons also to be rumored to be on the trade block. And so I would not be so surprised if maybe Portland trades away not only Simons, but that number three overall pick.
Yeah.
Although, I think Scoot Henderson, he's got to definitely be one of the more athletically gifted players I've seen ever in quite some time. I mean, at 6'2", he takes advantage of his 6'9" wingspan, and to tell something different, I haven't said on the show, you know, he just had a thing with the Players Tribune, and it's definitely just an exciting time for him. He really has improved in probably just an over less than a 3-year stretch going back from his Thanksgiving hoops days to then the NBA now. I mean, he could very well be the real deal.
Maybe
over you know, most of the talent in this year's NBA draft. I think, I don't know if you caught it before, Lou, but I said, you know, he's not going to, I think, ever win MVP as early as, say, Derrick Rose, but, I mean,
right.
There are certain things that may just maybe very well stand out to me in terms of his ability to attack the rim like Derrick Rose and facilitate as well. I mean, he has some qualities and some former standouts like Derrick Rose and several others, maybe including someone like Russell Westbrook as well, who just like Scoot Henderson likes to take the spot up shot from field goal range or just a runner. You know, he just I think Scoot Henderson. You know, there's much debate over Scoot Henderson, Brandon Miller going number two or number three. I mean, how do you look at it, Lou? Should Brandon Miller be selected to the Hornets at two? I think it might be a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might be right, but of course he is one of the top draft picks. But I still think the Hornets that could be a problem right there. Hornets don't look anything like, you know, they're even near anywhere contending.
Yeah, no. Well, I like I was saying, you know, to just get that number three overall pick and yet again take advantage of this time.
Yeah.
I think with the Hornets, they need to just unload some players at this point. I mean, get rid of that Gordon Hayward contract first, and secondly, I'm not so high of a fan on LaMelo Ball. I think I've really reached the point I've really seen much enough of LaMelo. And besides, you know, I always felt Lonzo Ball was a better brother, but I think Charlotte, they need to really reconsider things and start off. I mean, definitely, I think Scoot Henderson is worth the number two overall selection. But then again, I think there are some teams that can definitely find a way into this year's lottery and try to change the course of what's to come in the near future in the NBA.
But
just looking at here, tonight's games, Braves, Tigers, 6:40, Blue Jays, Orioles. That's going to be an interesting game right there. If Kevin Gausman's on the mound against his former team, that would be an interesting matchup. Then the Yankees and Mets. I think someone had mentioned something about the Yankees and Mets earlier on the show.
Public series.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was just saying before, Mets had their Hall of Fame induction, and Al Leiter, he was speaking, and then his son Jack Leiter was seen in the crowd. Jack Leiter, top overall pick, previously, and now with Texas, I mean, I think people are forgetting. You know, Texas does have a good. I think they have a good pipeline of players right now in their farm system. I heard recently Kumar Rocker, who is yet another Vanderbilt standout. I struggled. He had a setback in one of his AAA outings recently. So, I mean, things may not be going as well for Texas, but I think they're nonetheless going to be fine. But like I said, New York Mets and Yankees. Let's see who's on the mound tonight. I'm going to look it up.
Okay.
Mets versus Yankees. So Yankees 38-29, while the Mets are 31-35. Aaron Rubling's the Mets are going to eventually sell at the deadline? And who are some players, Lou, who do you think the Mets should give away?
Well, there's not that I really can't say for sure, but the Mets are having a lot of problems, you know, lately. And considering what they went through last season, you know, thought they would do better. But they haven't done well at all this season. They're like 4 games below .500. They lost eight of nine. It was just become horrible.
Yeah. Trying to find out here. Heard the Cardinals lost again last night.
Yeah.
Not a real good thing for some I know in the Cardinals front office who I think are likely to be gone very soon. I mean, at some point, you know, success isn't – I mean, good things don't last forever, unfortunately. And
no.
Yeah, I was reading up on some of the Cardinals, you know. You know, of course, against the Red Sox back in the 2000s, followed up by the Texas Rangers. You know, they've had some good postseason attempts at the World Series over time. But now, I mean, it's just coming to be obvious that the prospects aren't obviously as good as, say, some of the prospects previously to now. I think Lars Nootbaar, he's certainly one guy that I keep tabs on. He just came over from Japan's successful World Baseball Classic win, but then again, then again, I'd say, you know, some guys like Edmund, and then you look at Wong, who's been from team to team. I mean, over recent years now, they just haven't maybe you want to say successfully. I mean, at the very least, you know, I was saying to John Vooch of the Cardinals that you know, Oscar Tavares, he was expected to be a really good prospect. Thought he was going to be tremendous, and yeah, he said that John Mosiak had high hopes on him, and then so, you know, now looking ahead with him at Jordan Walker, for example, you know, some guys just, for example, haven't panned out to be like maybe as impactful as the next Albert Pujols, who's now gone from broadcasting to MLB operations. And so and just taking a look here at and I was just going to say real quickly, you know, like I just think certainly far more of the veterans have been panning out than the younger guys have over time in St. Louis. And so, I wouldn't be too surprised for someone like Nolan Arenado, for example, who I think is unlike Paul Goldschmidt. I think Paul Goldschmidt is an extremely humble player who's willing to play anywhere. But in the case of Nolan, I think, or Arenado, I think he's very well on his way out. And Wilson Contreras, I don't know what to make of him, but I thought he was at the very least, and I think if you keep him around, he's at the very least going to be a solid replacement at best for Yadier Molina. I mean, someone has to fill in the shoes of Yadier, and just taking a look at right here, the strikeout rate between Wilson Contreras and Javier Baez. I mean, I'm pretty sure right away, you know, based off them two being two highly touted Chicago Cub prospects, that Baez stands out as maybe to have not only the worst strikeout rate, but I think Javier may. I mean, I think people may want to start talking about this, but I think Javier is likely to see his way out of Major League Baseball. And you know, yet as of yesterday, I saw something about him saying the F word towards fans Somewhere, whether it was in Detroit or elsewhere, he just not having the best of years right now in Major League Baseball. And I could see it likely, however, maybe he takes some years off and returns. I don't know, but right now I'd say, very least, I think Wilson Contreras is a much better off player than Javier Baez, who we take a look. You look at former Cubs like Jorge Soler, they wanted to have pretty bad strikeout rates, but later go on to have success, especially down in Miami right now, who I think may very well have reached the postseason. And then you just take the way current things look. I think I can confirm Contreras, he's not as bad as Javier Baez right now. Just, looking right here, have tremendous stats in AAA, but prospects of the month and all, having such success down the Cubs farm system, but comparing then to now, maybe things would, players poised to win, change around a winning culture, of course, I think, Javier Baez, he was, I think maybe involved in a trade before. No, he wasn't. I remember now, Javier Baez, you gotta understand, played second base for a while, and I think he's playing shortstop now, so
right.
There's no hard reason to believe that he's just still adjusting, unfortunately, for Detroit fans, but overall you got someone who did slide in over the second on a World Series team right next to Addison Russell, who, faced some charges, is no longer in the league. So, Javier Baez, at least in better hopes than Addison Russell, who I first believed in the Oakland A's farm system at the time, to then go over to Chicago and, be better. I'm not saying he's going to produce maybe like, good slugging stats and be as efficient as some shortstops, but he could field, I felt, and hit the ball, and I was just you look at or, the Yankees, 38-29, yep. Mets, 31-35. Just taking a look at the pitchers tonight. I wish right away Google should have right away the starting rotation and update stats. But tonight, it's Luis Severino versus Max Scherzer. So Luis Severino with an 0-1 record, 5.75 ERA, 18 strikeouts. Max Scherzer, 5-2, 3.71 ERA, 58 strikeouts. First of all, who do you think is going to win this matchup, Lou?
I think the Yankees will. Even without Scherzer's pitching, but yeah.
Well, you may be right. Scherzer not obviously having one of his better seasons throughout his career. But then you could argue, he may not rank amongst the top in strikeouts or, you know, have maybe one of at least the best NL ERAs, but then again, you know, I think for someone his age, he's still carrying up good. Is it good enough, however, I feel, for a team or a club like the New York Mets? I really don't. I think Scherzer's someone. We were just talking about the Mets unloading some players. I think Max Scherzer may very well be a guy the Mets explore trading. I think he just needs to jettison it on out of New York. And you know, if you were to ask me, is this his final year? I think so. I really do, even though he has such a competitive nature. I remember going all the way back to his initial press conference with the Washington Nationals. You know, there were said to be lots of mileage on his career, but I think doubts highly seem to creep in now about Max Scherzer, even though it's possible he finishes off this year, ends it on a good note, or I don't know, could see another year, but maybe beyond past 2 years, I really don't know. Ari Dickey, you know, he he was the last, I think, memorable 40-year-old pitcher to, sustain a good career as much as he did. But, with Scherzer, you know, he's faced mileage, especially in the postseason. The Cardinals are said to be playing the Mets, followed up from this Yankees-Mets Subway Series. And so I just want to look one last thing, though. Kevin Gausman, as he pitches tonight for the Orioles versus Blue Jays, starting pitchers. How about it? Chris Bass on the mound against Dean Kremer. The Orioles 41-24. They sent back down Grayson Rodriguez. You figure eventually, they're really putting up or shutting up with the starting rotation they have. I mean, it's been able to hold up for the very least, but at least in terms of winning. I mean, going into the season, Kyle Gibson was their projected starting ace, and so just thinking in terms of the Blue Jays. Like I said, have Chris Bass on the mound, I definitely still believe, no matter what people say about the Blue Jays, that I think Alex Manoah, he could definitely find a way back into the major leagues, despite how horrendous he was in the first quarter. He could find a way back, even though guys holding up for the Blue Jays, even far more in terms of good hopes and expectations wise, is that Jose Berrios has been having probably one of the better seasons for the Blue Jays, but better seasons overall in the entire American League. You really make a case that, I expected Chris Bassett to be a mid-rotation star. Still think he'll eventually pick up the win tonight, even in Baltimore. But Jose Berrios, I mean, he's definitely someone I much keep an eye on, especially as we head into the series between Toronto and Baltimore. Kevin Gausman's not pitching, although Toronto is said to be playing against the Texas Rangers. So, with the remaining time, I'll pull up the NBA free agency list and just talk about where these free agents should possibly land. Now we're out of the way with the NBA finals.
Mm-hmm.
Into the NBA offseason. I mean, this is definitely not the first name that comes to my mind, but apparently he's the first name on the list. 34-year-old Russell Westbrook. I mean, where would you foresee Russell Westbrook possibly landing?
Well, as long as he doesn't come back to the Lakers, I think it's fine. I think it's Shannon Darcy. What about Philly?
I initially thought of the San Antonio Spurs at first, but I think the Spurs are very likely. I mean, they're said to be high upside on Devin Vassell. Cullen Johnson, a good shooter. I think he can definitely improve upon his age, especially at 23. But then you look at Wembanyama, he's going to obviously be the best player on the Spurs heading into his rookie year. And so, I think the Spurs could be content either way with Chris Paul or Russell Westbrook. But something tells me they're possibly going to either try to persuade Chris Paul or trade for him. It's possible, but if I had to say where Russell Westbrook would land, then again, it's still his hometown, Los Angeles. I think Los Angeles could very much try to do something where they shape up just say a good majority of their starting lineup and have Russell Westbrook tempted to come back not only because it's Los Angeles but because the Clippers. Yeah. I think the Clippers are definitely a team that still has the flexibility to go out and make some changes, if not maybe a few major changes come time this offseason in free agency. You then take a look at Chris Middleton, new head coach, possibly new Giannis, but 11 years in the league now. Where do you stand on Chris Middleton?
Well, first thing, they're going to get rid of his injuries. I mean, Middleton is a good player, and, he was, of course, one of the top reasons why the Bucks, did so well this year. Until the playoffs came along, I mean, I remember that. But, Milton's got to be careful, too. Injuries have really set back some of these players. So he's got to be careful, too.
Well, Chris Milton, he's much well-known for his reliable shots at the end of games for Milwaukee. Especially with the Milwaukee Bucks NBA Finals appearance. I mean, out of all players, I would say Bobby Portis is my favorite player, but Chris Middleton, I think, definitely the most key contributor other than Giannis Antetokounmpo on that roster. But then, yet again, I think it's time for Milwaukee to make some switches. They already did with Adrian Griffin. And, they have that backcourt of Grayson Allen and Drew Holiday. But then again, I think, it's time for a switch. I think you just can't win with Grayson Allen, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and then Drew Holiday. You got to just start again. I think you got to start again while you can at this point. If you start again, maybe a year or two in, followed in 2024, 2025, it may very well hinder your chances and relationship with Giannis Antetokounmpo. But
yeah,
if I had predicted where Chris Middleton would go, said to be an all-star, former all-star. He was very much a forward than he was a shooting guard entering the league with Boston, but then, recreated himself over in Milwaukee. And now I think he'll pretty much never get over recreating himself over in Milwaukee. But at the end, you hear a team like Houston. I think Houston would take on some more depth, more scorers. I think they're a team that's just been always been willing to give you like the highest salary to Chris Middleton, for example, and take on a lot of player salaries like Jabari Smith, Eason, Jalen Green. I mean, they got so much depth that I think eventually over time they can either keep Chris Middleton or basically trade him. That's how I've always viewed Houston in terms of how they've gone about certain situations, especially trying to add on superstars, So James Harden, another former Houston Rocket on this list, followed up by Chris Middleton. There's been rumors that he'd go to Houston, but some tell me that he's really owed a lot to Philadelphia these past couple of years, even to Daryl Morey, and he'll very much accept a sign trade, go anywhere, really, at this point. I think he's just willing to very well not only try and compete for a championship, but take on a much higher salary, as it's been reported. So, want to be some of Russell Westbrook, James Harden reunited in Los Angeles. They're really good friends, but those OKC days are pretty much over. Hopefully, OKC can finally get back on that hump. I mean, who knows? You're hearing reports that James Harden would like to take not only on a higher salary, but also play with a talent roster like Houston that is much the same as OKC in a way. It's very much young. So
yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily say they have the youngest average age as OKC Thunder, but certainly a possible destination for Harden. Looking maybe somewhere in the West. And Kyrie Irving, what do you think right there, a couple players like that I just mentioned, Kyrie and possibly James Harden.
Harden you can keep, but I mean, Kyrie Irving, that's a toxic poison right there. I wouldn't want anything to do with him. Whoever gets him, I'm sorry.
He is
toxic.
Well, I think I don't know. Do you think Kyrie Irving's going to play on Team USA this summer?
Oh, I hope not. Ooh.
I mean, is he just going to have a withdrawal card again, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, it's bad enough, he caused all the problems for the Nets. Now he's going to come over and play for Team USA. Oh, boy. Grab the acceptance. We're going to need it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been reports that Kyrie Irving could very much go and pair himself with Joel Embiid. At this point, I don't see Boston as ever a destination Kyrie would go back to. Boston should consider other guards like Chris Paul at this point. They coveted Chris Paul maybe years ago, and then you consider I mean, really, you got. I think you got to establish some type of veteran leadership around Jason, because I think Jason's still at that point. He's still developing and seeking out a championship, but and very much never, because I wanted to express how he's basically reached his breaking point. But you know, Kyrie Irving, I think I thought right away Miami. I mean, I think there's some egos that have been willing to go under the tutelage of several individuals in that organization, especially with Pat Riley and then Eric Spoelstra to a degree. I think players have a respect for Spoelstra and Riley and, well, yeah, maybe some other Heat players have done in the past, especially with a former Heat player being Alonzo Mourning now in the front office. Yeah, I really don't know. I mean, wouldn't be something if Kyrie just joined the Golden State Warriors.
Guess it would.
Yeah.
They didn't just seem to have it this year like they did last year. I think there was something missing with them. I mean, it didn't measure up to, you know, the team they were last year.
Yeah. Now, if we're looking further down the list here, you know, one of the more interesting names out there has been Fred VanVleet as of late. He's been reportedly set to leave the Toronto Raptors. And I don't know.
I don't know about that.
Definitely not the Kings. I don't know. I mean, Utah's in an unfortunate situation. I mean, Markkanen's not going to even play next year. Even though they got a lot of draft picks, they're going to be one of the more interesting teams to watch with Danny Ainge, especially this year's draft. I mean, I don't know about Fred VanVleet to Utah, but
no, that's gonna be a big loss for the Raptors.
I mean, I guess so. He's a very small guard. I think he's always been, however, more of a bench role player, and so I think we're gonna see him over time, you know, how he contribute.
Yeah.
I mean, he sort of reminds me of Eddie House. Like he could just instantly make that impact wherever he goes, whether it's on the bench or maybe sometimes starting. But I don't know about VanVleet. I'd say Gabe Vincent. Definitely a more intriguing name to me, because he could definitely draw some value now. And
thought maybe Vincent was gonna come through for Miami at first, but he just couldn't measure up to it, you know.
Yeah,
because he was a good, you know, step up player, but not in the finals.
Yeah, well, he was out. However, most of the leading scorer throughout the finals. So, you know, the thing with the Heat was they took too many shots, and you know, it just goes all the way back to how just the three-point ball can't always win you magic. You just you know, the bigs like Jokic can eventually.
Well, remember the old saying: you live by the three, you die by the three.
Huh. The three. Well,
this is true.
You mean LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh?
Well, I meant the three-point. I meant three-point shot in general, not by three players. You know, you live by a three-point shot, you die by a three-point shot. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, I think like I was saying earlier on today's show, you know, Bam could have very much been the main contributor throughout the way, you know, and I think this offseason, you know, just look towards you know, maybe spend some time in a gym with say Chris Bosh working on that long field goal range, so to say, with Chris Bosh.
Yeah,
Chris Bosh's arsenal and expertise, and you know, try to become a better player offensively, because I think Bam can really take advantage of that and just his size altogether. I mean, he's definitely, to me, he looks like probably one of the top five strongest players in the league.
Yeah, I'll give it that.
Yeah. I mean, who are some free agents or players you'd like to see really make a move this offseason, whether trade or signing?
Well, I think there's only been one that's reason that's already been discussed, if I remember correctly, yesterday. So we do gotta wait and see about that. But you know, the free agency hasn't really kicked in yet. We gotta wait until later this month to figure out what's gonna happen. So anything is up in the air with me right now. Well, actually, again, they said Van Fleet's already, because he declined his option. Now, that kind of money, you got to be ridiculous to give up that kind of option. $22 million? You people crazy?
Well, I think he loves to win, and it's just become so stagnant in Toronto, even though they have such a great general manager now. I wouldn't necessarily go on to say, you know, he's been like one of the greatest, maybe the greatest of all time in Toronto, but... One of the greatest show managers. I mean, we know that it was so obvious that Kawhi Leonard, fairly obvious that Kawhi Leonard was, you know, the pot and gold of that run and success there in Toronto. I mean, I was just thinking about breakout players, and right away you just mentioned Toronto. I mean, Someone like Scotty Barnes, who has improved his shot, I mean, could be much better going forward. Which is why I say, you know, I could see him breaking out. I really next year. And I think Toronto, they can let some players go, like Fred VanVleet and even OG Anunoby, get some value in return for OG and just build around that. You know, I see Nikola Vucevic. I think one of the more underrated talent in the league. Why are you all the way around rounding out his profile, but Nikola, I think, you know, going to Toronto may be something worth investing in, but well, let's just quickly, as we did yesterday, check on if there's any trending news going on around the league and sports league just entirely around in general. Oh, what's this? Maxi's trending? Okay, here we go. Doc Rivers on the ideal third player with Maxi and Embiid. If I could pick the perfect guy, and this is based off the Bill Simmons podcast, who has reported something recent in NBA news, but if I could pick the perfect guy without a name, it would be a big point guard who can score. He can make a case like a Manu Ginobili. Someone in that category would be the perfect fit for that team. Well, I agree. I've always said since Embiid was drafted,
yeah.
someone like Michael Carter Williams, for example, who won Rookie of the Year, was the ideal measurables, but just really didn't stick out in terms of you know what Embiid could do. For example, all around offensively and defensively. I mean, right away, just someone like Shilgeous Alexander sticks out. I mean, he's one of the better lengthy point guards who can go out, rebound, get you scoring, and I guess would maybe be appreciated more in a bigger city and market like Philadelphia, but I don't think OKC. I mean, if OKC says, like, this guy's not worth investing in long-term, I mean, then I see it likely the Sixers could get someone like Shilgeous Alexander. But, yeah, definitely not too many players that I believe far come out like that, especially in terms of Manu Ginobili. I mean, there's someone recent who's come to stand out in the same, almost in the same image as Manu Ginobili, but yeah, you know, I was saying, well, if you're talking more ideal height, I look for someone like Ben Simmons, who's been working out more recently as of late. May not be the most trustworthy guy, but you know, there's very least things he could do on the court, and as he hopefully manages to get on. And you know, if the Sixers were to just say trade Tobias Harris, they really want to get rid of that Tobias Harris contract, highest paid player on the team. You get rid of Tobias in return for Ben Simmons. I think Ben Simmons can be a very, very, at the very least, better talent than you'd say Tobias Harris. Maybe an extra year, but I don't know. Sixers, at the very least, gotta get rid of Tobias Harris, find the best return they can. And as I'm scrolling down, I mean, I guess you just make an argument right away that you know, there's some disapproval.
Yeah.
It seems to be disapproval of Tyrese Maxey coming straight away from former Sixers head coach Doc Rivers.
Yeah.
I know someone that no one's really talked about, Jane Springer, highest three-point percentage in the G League last year, showed at times that he can be a reliable player on the court for the Sixers. I mean, there are a few good young prospects on the Sixers, not as many as maybe previously in the past, but you know, just taking maybe one or two good prospects. I mean, it took at the very least, you know, one good prospect in Jokic round two to just ride out a solid, good team.
Yeah.
NBA Finals team. So, I actually, before we wrap up, Who would you say will be in the NBA Finals next year?
Next year. Well, I think I'll give – I think the Warriors are going to bounce back after this year, whatever happened. Because I know it's very tough to repeat well, in any tournament spell. The East is up for grabs with it, so I got to think about that one. You know, because the East has so many teams that, you know, didn't really stack up to the West. So I'm a little skeptical of who will be the East. I think maybe if I had to pick my poison, I think maybe the Celtics, because they're looking for, I think, revenge of this, as they had no reason for that poor excuse for Game 7 after they had against Miami. I mean, that was a poor excuse. Sure, after winning Game 6, they were riding on a high, and then they just crashed and burned. I think, you know, this is going to be, you know, a revenge season coming up.
Well, the Kings were projected to be one of amongst the top teams to go to the NBA Finals next year. I mean, based off hearing one of the Kings executives, I mean, Keegan Murray and De'Aaron Fox definitely took a nice step forward for the Kings and may very much take a nicer step forward.
That's true.
Nicer step heading into next year, but if I had to say about the West, I think it's very likely the Kings take at least another step forward in terms of advancing in the postseason. They made it as far as round two. They could very much go to round three, I believe, face off against the Nuggets, but however, be shortened by the Denver Nuggets. And so then if I had to predict who the Denver Nuggets would face off in the Eastern Conference Finals, I think the Celtics definitely a team to watch out for in the East, but I don't know. I very much have always wanted to see a matchup between the two best bigs I feel in the league, Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
But it's going to be interesting. Not many Eastern Conference teams rounded out top odds and making the finals next year, not surprisingly enough, considering just how poor these has really been yet again. You know, I think expect another team to take a big step forward. They necessarily didn't feature as much in the postseason this year, but I think some of the young players developing, Miles Turner very much still there in the picture.
Oh yeah,
as well as Tyrese Haliburton, one of the more players in the league last year. I mean, just spoiled enough for the Knicks fans and Sacramento fans especially, but you know, I think he's going to really start creating something there in Indiana next year. May very well leap to the very least the upper echelon of the Eastern Conference, make a run. And I'd say, you know, Tyrese, you know, he definitely had one of the more good higher shooting percentages. There's a real good chance he could be featured in next year's All-Star game, I believe, if he especially adds on some more minutes. But it's very well much said that one team eventually does not repeat much longer in the NBA, but I'd say the Denver Nuggets could very well repeat win over I'd say it's a good chance the Knicks have some marquee value in place. I don't think John Brunson's gonna have much of a good year as he did this past year. Next year, I think it's very well possible. Um, You know, I don't think the Heat will reach the Eastern Conference Finals. I'd very much like to say the Knicks, except if they make strong enough moves.
I wish.
If they make strong enough, are you a Knicks fan?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. We got problems.
I get it.
Well, I'm a Sixers fan. I don't know if you know.
Right.
Yeah. Well. I've been to the Garden. It's definitely. I'll say, you know, I've been there many more times probably than the Sixers arena. So.
Yeah.
Definitely some place worth going to, whether it's, you know, a game or even concert. But, I don't know.
Yeah.
But would I very much say that going to the Garden and seeing the Knicks potentially go to the finals, I think it only takes maybe a couple moves for them to reach the finals within.
Yeah.
Possibly the very least 2 years, but.
I'll stop for that.
I'm just thinking here of so many teams. Just gonna find out here and just think narrowly. I think the Cavaliers are one of the more poised teams to make a run next year. I thought right away after the finals, you know, we could see Giannis and Jokic down the line. However, if I say ending the show today, it would be, as of right now, I would say, the Celtics, but, I think the Sixers are very much going to go out, make some differentiating moves, and make an impact come time the NBA Finals. I think they'll make much of an impact to fall short. However, as I want to say now, this about does it for Sports Kingdom. I want to thank those who have tuned in and are just listening later on, possibly. And Lou, thanks for certainly coming on. Do you happen to have a Twitter? Do you?
No, I don't use Facebook. I don't trust Twitter.
No? Okay. Do you have a Facebook page?
Oh, yeah. Just type my name in and go see it there.
Oh, well, you don't have a sports page.
No, I just do it off Facebook.
Okay.
And YouTube.
Like everyone else, check out SportsZone on YouTube. And thank all of you for once again joining. Follow us as well on social media at Sports Game TV very soon. That handle might change, but nonetheless, want to thank you guys nonetheless, and enjoy the rest of your day. Peace out.